Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. There is a lot in this reading. We read this week at the council meeting, and we read it on Wednesday morning at Men in Mission, and all decided that, wow, there's a lot here. And so I thought I might offer this simple paraphrase. When the Advocate, the one who will stand alongside you, comes, she will testify on my behalf, proving the world wrong about sin and judgment and guiding you in all truth. Jesus promises here to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to the disciples, not for comfort, but rather to strengthen them for the struggles and trials that they will face as they carry on ministry without him. Jesus makes no mention of tongues of fire dancing above heads, or that the disciples will have the ability to speak the gospel in one language and have others hear it in their own. Jesus speaks of only the promise of divine presence. The story from Acts describes this presence as coming in a mighty rushing wind, the kind of thing that knocks you off your feet and demands your attention. But Jesus cautions that expectation by telling us that the Spirit's coming is about bringing strength and truth. So what is the truth of the Holy Spirit? Is it a quiet presence or a mighty rushing wind? It's both, and it's more. Pneuma, the Greek word used in Acts to describe the Advocate, can be translated spirit, wind, or breath. And this is fitting because there are times when the Spirit rushes in with a mighty roar and dancing flames, and we are on fire for God, and we are ready to serve. And there are other times when we experience the Spirit as a breath, a presence, a moment that calms us with a deep, slow in and out breath, a breath that gives us strength to continue. One commentator suggested that there are even times when the Spirit comes in a quieter way, as a whisper, a sigh, the exhale you make after you have heard bad news and realize that you have been holding your breath, the whisper of the quiet voice of encouragement to get up and try again after you didn't get the job you had hoped for or the relationship that you had longed for falls apart. In the whisper, in the breath, there is life and there is strength. However God's Holy Spirit comes to us, whether in power or gentleness, what she always brings is life and truth. I'm looking at your faces right now, And I am hoping that if you've been listening closely, I have made you a little uncomfortable with the pronoun that I have been using in referring to God's Holy Spirit. Did you notice it? Some people, it's funny, it's always the women who noticed it. Twice now, I have intentionally referred to the Holy Spirit as she. I have done that in hopes of pushing you in how you think about God as revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. We learn much about the character of God through the person of Jesus Christ, and the same is true of God's Holy Spirit. But sometimes we need something to push us to a new understanding. Because one of the biggest challenges for most of us is change. Doing things differently is hard. During this Easter season, we have changed the version of the Lord's Prayer that we are using in worship. And I have heard a lot of comments about that change, and they have not all been positive. But you know what? I am okay with that. I'm okay with it because it means that you are being forced to pay attention to the words of the prayer. And hopefully that paying attention has expanded your understanding of the Lord's Prayer. Gracie, this morning, through sharing her gift of dance, showed us what worshiping with your whole body might look like, expanding our definition of what worship can be. So then what about expanding our definition and understanding of the Holy Spirit? One way is what I have done by referring to God's Holy Spirit as she. This is especially impactful after the gospel translation, because in that gospel you just heard, the pronoun he or him is used no less than 11 times in just 14 verses. And while God's Holy Spirit is neither male or female, we by default most often use masculine references. And doing that attaches all kinds of traditional male characteristics to the Spirit, which are not a bad thing. I don't want you to think I'm saying that's a bad thing. But it does limit our understanding of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Intentionally challenging ourselves to use she allows for a whole new array of characteristics to become part of our understanding of the workings and purpose of God's Holy Spirit. Traditional female characteristics like nurturing and tenderness now also become part of how we understand and think of the Spirit. And if referring to God's Holy Spirit as she is hard, if that makes you uncomfortable, then I have to ask, do we really want Pentecost to come among us? Because when the Spirit moves in and takes over, life can be like that balloon out of control. It can get really uncomfortable. Things will change. Old hearts will be stirred in fresh ways, and young and old together will be caught up in dreams and visions. You may find yourself being pushed to do things that you have never done before. You may find yourself on a Saturday afternoon serving a meatball sandwich and cookies at the shelter. God's Holy Spirit might be pushing you to add your voice to the choir, to teach Sunday school, to attend a Bible study, to sort donations at the thrift store, or who knows what. The one common thing that we will find when the Spirit moves in and takes over is that we will be pushed into fuller participation in the community and in the life of the world. The truth that Jesus tells us the Spirit will teach us is relational. It's about how much we need each other and how we are to live together. And the most compelling witness any of us can give to the presence of the divine Spirit of truth living within us is to love others as Jesus did, in both word and action. In other words, to love each other in truth. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able. And our hymn of the day is number